Amen. Take your Bible this morning and go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're glad you're here today. We really are. Cannot explain to you what a pastor feels when he knows it's kind of rugged weather outside and then all of a sudden people start coming in. It's pretty neat. And then visitors stop and see us. Man, I appreciate that. Amen. I was a little boy when a visitor come to our place on the farm, but out there everything stopped. Mama had coffee and juice and some kind of roll or some kind to eat. Amen. So I hope your visitor today will come in. I'll give you a little bit of Word of God for you. Amen. The Bible says it's the Word of God, the bread of life. Amen. So I'm glad you're here today. We have a divine responsibility in our life as a Christian. Divine means something that is very special, something very sacred. And in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew writes, and he said, this is what Jesus Christ said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our divine responsibility. This was not only to the disciples, but this is also to every Christian who ever walks on this earth. As long as God has given you breath to breathe and legs to walk, and he gives us a responsibility to us. I'm amazed, and if you look in your Bible, please, in Matthew, we're a Bible church here. If you haven't figured that out, we believe in carrying our Bible. There's a Bible in front of you. If you don't have one, take it. Make sure it doesn't have a name in it. But anyway, deserves your right to leave your Bible around. Somebody take it, amen. Or if you're ashamed, you don't have your name in it, amen. So anyway, Matthew chapter 28. And the Bible said, look at here in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, what you talking about? Well, Jesus Christ is raised from the grave. He is in his, what we call his glorified body. He can walk into buildings without even having the doors unlocked. So it's a prayerless thing, but he can also eat. And he loves, he touches his disciples and lets them know that he is very loves them very much. And now he's talking to him. He said, now he's about ready to go back to heaven. I was thinking today, I was talking to my wife this morning. I said, you know, I think it's probably about the time that Jesus Christ went back into heaven, since Easter was the 31st, you know. And he was here for 30 days, and he rose from the grave, you know. And it was a tremendous thing. And we have so many things to be thankful for. Thank God for he rose from the grave, amen. So that gives us a hope that when we die, that we can raise from the grave. But anyway, he says, Jesus came unto them, spake unto them, saying, all power, that's powerful, isn't it? All powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to, what? Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, listen to that. I am with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I just want you to know that I am with you, and I'm not gonna abandon you. I want you to know that my thoughts are continual with you, even when I'm in heaven. I will be your intercessor. I will come before the Heavenly Father and speak for you, and I want you to know that. But he says, I give you a divine responsibility. When we're saved, Scripture teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I want to get that. A new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Scripture teaches us that when a person gets saved, when a person realizes that he needs Christ, and he asks Jesus in his heart, he becomes a new creature. According to God's word, immediately at salvation, miraculous transformation takes place. A regening process. Biologists tell us that immediately at conception, there's a distinct sequence of DNA forming part of the chromosome by which the offspring inherits characteristics of its parents. And may I say that that's exactly what happens to us when we receive Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. We have become His. Likewise, when by faith ask for forgiveness of our sins, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and ask Him to become our personal Savior, immediately upon salvation, we become, immediately upon salvation, we become new creatures in Christ. Perfect illustration. Man hanging on the cross next to Jesus, and he said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." He didn't get baptized. He didn't have a chance to do any works. All he did was, he told the guy next to him, he said, "Hey, we deserve this." He repented. "We deserve this." But he doesn't. He's a just man. And he said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." But praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but bless God, if there's someone that's about to die, and I got a chance to tell him about Jesus Christ, and he received Christ as a Savior, and he's gone, amen. He's in heaven instead of screaming in hell, amen. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad about that? Well, literally, the regenerating has taken place when we take on the new nature of the resurrected Christ. We instantaneously went from death to eternal life. One man said, we went from a mission field to a missionary. For the rest of our life, it is our responsibility, our divine responsibility, to be a missionary. Acts chapter 22, verse 15. "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Our responsibility. We have seen, we have heard. We've heard the Word of God. We have seen people change lives. We say, "Good night. You can't be the same guy I used to know. You're different. You're changed." That's right. Amen. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Our life should have changed when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. From the mission field to a missionary. Let me say this. Once we realize what the New Testament teaches us about missions, we cannot go back to the ignorance that we had or the apathy that we possess. Once we realize that Jesus Christ said, "Go ye," guess what? We've got our marching orders. You guys in the military, you get a slip and it says, "All right, this is where you're going. You're going TDY or you're going to PCS, wherever, you know." You don't go, "Hey, I'm not going there. Are you crazy? Who would ever want to come to Montana?" I didn't hear anybody say amen. I'll pray for you, Jason. All right. Is that the way it is? You can gripe all you want. You can stamp, spit, flop at the mouth, cry on your mama's shoulders, but you going to Montana. Why? Because those are orders. You could go AWOL. They have a way of finding people. Yeah. But God says, when I get saved, go ye. That's my job. That's your job. Like it or not, it's your job. You cannot be a real Christian and be real in your Christian life unless you are a missionary. Did you know that? You said, "But Pastor, I can't go to the Philippines, I can't go to Africa, I can't go to Russia, I can't go to China." Yeah, but you can certainly be here in Montana. And you can certainly, at offering time, give some money to some missionary that God has called them to, and you can supply their needs so they can go and do the job for you. Amen? Man, that's good preaching. I think they're cold in that snow. Our obligation is a great opposition. Just think of this. Once we realize what Christ has told us in the New Testament, then we have our marching orders. I think that it's a good idea as a Christian look back at the basics of Christianity. I like that. I don't like what's going on today. I want to look back to the basics. And by the way, a good place to look back to the basics is the Word of God. Amen. I hope you have one of those. Amen. This is your handbook. This is your TO. This is your scripture that teaches you and what you weigh everything by. And whatever you measure things by, this is it right here. Ancient Bible tells us that this is what Jesus said. Therefore, hey, guess what? It should not have changed 2,000 years. Thus saith the Lord God. First of all, Christians have a great obligation. And once they have invited Jesus Christ to be their Savior, an obligation is the social force that binds you to your obligations and courses of action demanded by that force. John D. Rockefeller said this, Every right, we have rights, every right implies a responsibility. Think of it now. Every right implies a responsibility. I have rights in America. Thank God for my rights. And I want to fight for my rights. And thank you, dear friends who have and are today fighting for our rights. Amen. So if I have rights, every right implies a responsibility. I had a responsibility last April the 17th to pay my taxes. Say, did you like to? I sure love living in America. I sure love having police protection, and I'm sure glad they caught those people in Boston. I'm glad. It costs a lot of money to run that outfit. I'm sure glad to have that I can still speak English here in America. I'm still glad I can send my kids to schools, and I'm sure glad I can drive on the highways. I'm sure you see all that stuff costs money. I'm sure glad there's unfortunate people that are poor. They get to live. We out of that help people. I'm glad. Every right implies a responsibility. And every opportunity, obligation, and every possession, get this, a duty. So, the right of me, well, let's go on. Because all that Christ did for me on the cross, and all that we receive now from this, may I say, the entitlements that we have been promised in this present time, and what we'll receive in heaven for all eternity. Therefore, without question, we have an indebtedness and an obligation to the Heavenly Father. Wouldn't you agree with that? Amen? No, Jesus died on the cross. Hey, before he died on the cross, I was a sinner heading for hell. Now, hell was not made for me. It was made for the devil and his angels, but because man sinned in the Garden of Eden, death passed upon all men for all of sin. And therefore, before Christ died, I was a man most miserable. But when he died on the cross and shed his blood and rose from the grave, he paid for my sin debt. Therefore, if I ask him by faith to forgive my sins and ask him to come into my heart, he said, I'll save you forever. Amen? That's what God promised you. He said, it's eternal. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So those are principles of the Word of God we don't want to get over. Now remember, since that, we have a divine responsibility, because here's one that died for me, therefore I am indebted to him. Hey, this Christianity is not this free giveaway stuff. Jesus had to pay it on the cross. Naked before everybody. Spit upon, beat upon, laughed at, cursed at. And he took it. Should have been me on that cross. Should have been you on that cross. So therefore, since that happened, I am indebted. I have a divine responsibility to pay back. Wouldn't you say? To him. Our personal responsibility, Christ came 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this blood, sweat, tear, and earth. He gave his life for us so that we did not have to go to hell for our sins. Let me remind you that hell was not intended for mankind. It was created only for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those people on the left are those that never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God says, hey, it's over. God gives you time to receive Him as your personal Savior. If you do not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will suffer the consequence. And the consequence is death and hell forever. Secondly, Jesus Christ called 12 disciples, sent them forth, commissioning these men at Pentecost, 40 days after His resurrection, to proclaim the gospel to the Israelites. But the Israelites would not hear the gospel, and they would not accept Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the Messiah, and they put the Christ to death and would not accept any responsibility for their murderous plot in killing the promised Savior and the Messiah. They were the ones that said, hey, let that be on us and our children. You remember what he said that? When they said, yeah, crucify him. And Pilate said, good night. He said, there's no reason you crucify him. They said, crucify him anyway. Third time, Pilate, a Roman, said, hey, I find no fault in him. They said, we don't care. Crucify him. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you this Barabbas who is a murderer. A thief. Hey, the worst thing that the world can produce. And they said, we want Barabbas. Kill him. Crucify him. He did that for you and me. Don't you think there's a little bit of obligation there? Therefore, God sent forth the missionaries to the Gentile nations. In doing so, He raised up a Jew of all Jews named Saul. And Christ met him at the road of Damascus. And Saul was out. The Bible said he was making havoc of the church. Literally, plundering churches and killing. I mean, literally killing. He was there when Stephen hit. He held the clothes and said, yeah, throw stones at him. Kill Stephen, first deacon of the church. Maybe it's not so fun being a deacon after all. And they said, we don't want nothing to do with them. So God says, okay, that's it. You sealed your desire, Israelite people, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. And of course, Paul came and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people got saved. In doing so, Christ met him on the road to Damascus. He was wonderfully saved. 4 years later, at the church of Antioch, he's commissioned with Barnabas to work in spreading the gospel to the Gentile nations. See what we're doing? We're going from Jerusalem, and then we're going to Antioch, and then all of a sudden we're going to see God sending forth men and women to the world. Now, I want you to think logically. I want you to think logically right now. Logic would teach us that if Christ sent His disciples to the Jews, and the Jews sent the gospel to the Gentiles, and Gentiles sent the gospel to Europe, and Europe sent the gospel to America, and America sent it to other nations, don't you think that it is still our responsibility to keep sending the gospel? That's just logical. It's our responsibility here at the Baptist Church to keep sending them out. It's our responsibility to look at our children and say, dear God, if you want that child to serve you in the mission field, I want you to take it. You said, but Pastor, we wouldn't see our grandchildren being raised. We wouldn't see our children. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and see what God can do in a great way, brother, you ought to be so tickled that your children are doing something right for God and in God's will. Well, I want to stay here in Montana, go skiing and water skiing and ride my motorcycle and four-wheeler and bless God at Saturday night. Hey, I'm leaving town. The last guy out, turn the lights out. You see it? Only one reason they're here for. The outdoors and fun. One man said in Montana's 9 months of snow and poor sled and 3 months of relatives and friends. Amen. Think of that. You'll get it. Hey, we're coming out to see you. They're not coming out to see you. They're coming out to use you, sleep in your house, burn your gas, eat your food, and have a vacation on you. Amen. I'm not bitter. I'm lonely. Come on. Roy and JoJo Moffat came out and said, "Oh, preacher, sis, we'd like to come to your church, and we like to spend some time, and do you think you could take us to Glacier?" And I ended up going on their family vacation. Oh, boy. But we had fun, amen? So logic would teach us that we're supposed to still send forth. We are commanded to send forth the gospel. Someone prayed for you. Someone was sent for you. And someone had to pay the price for you. We are taught as Christians to be honest. And we're taught to pay our bills. And we are to be honest people to deal with. You do pay your bills, don't you? Amen? And of course we do. And we see when a man is saved, he becomes a debtor. He's obligated. He has responsibilities now. Just like when you got married. Now, oh boy, she is sure cute. She's pretty, yeah. And you got an obligation to take care of her, dude. And if I'm your daddy, if I'm her daddy and you don't, I'm going to come pound you, amen. I love that. All the women said, amen. Yeah, brother. You got three boys. Amen. We thought that Christians are to be honest and pay our bills. You see, missions does not stop when you're saved. Nor is the gospel to only stay in the country the gospel is sent to. It is progressive. It is our turn. And we are to pay the price. Here's a case in point. In Acts, First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. You say, how'd you know Baptist? Well, read the scripture. Acts chapter 2. It says there's about 3,000 saved and baptized. So I guess it's a Baptist church, amen? And First Baptist Church of Jerusalem is having a great drought. And Barnabas and Paul were sent by church at Antioch to bring them some help. Why? They're obligated to that church. If it wasn't for the church of Jerusalem, the gospel wouldn't be preaching. You see that? It's just logical. It's my responsibility to, hey, when somebody helped me, someday I need to help that somebody else. It's just honest. You know? You come up to a man and says, hey, I don't got any money. Can you help me out? And the guy says, all right, helps him out. First of all, I think the man ought to pay him back. That's just honest. He worked hard. He's straight. Hey, when you got the money, pay him back. Amen. If you can't, at least go to him and say, you know what, I can't pay you back. My grandmother, when we first got married, oh my soul, I was so broke. Brother, I'll tell you what, I was broke. And I was getting married. And I was in college. And my grandma says, honey, I want to give you $400. She used to call me honey. Brother, anybody that loved me like my grandma, she can call me anything, amen. And she said, I'm going to give you $400. I know you're having a hard time going to school and everything. I said, oh, Gaga. I said, I just want to thank you. Thank you, thank you. She said, now, you can pay me back. I said, I will. I'll pay you back. A year later, I'm back home in Michigan, and I'd taken a church. I was pastor of the church, and she got me off the corner in her bedroom. She said, I need to talk to you. I said, what's that? I said, Gaga, I need to pay you that. She said, now, honey, if you won't tell nobody, you just keep that. Because you're a preacher now, and you need it more than anybody else does. But don't you tell. By the way, this is one of the first times I've ever told that. I ain't tell nobody. My grandma's been dead for about 20 years. I still wouldn't tell it, amen. I'm still hoping for her to send me something else, amen. But I was obligated to her to take care of that, amen. By the way, we're obligated. Life is not just, hey, let's live it up. Don't come spend my money. Spend your own money. Well, I don't have any. Well, get a job. Do what I did when I was pastoring the church in Delvin, Minnesota. I had 3 jobs plus pastor the church. But I'll tell you what, I drove a beat truck 48 hours straight. I just slept in that truck. They just keep bringing me food. I kept driving, amen. I stopped to go to church. Man, I'm beat. I worked at a fertilizer plant. I drove a school bus. Man, work! The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Thank God for you men to get out and get hustle and get a job, amen. Hey, man, it's good. Work hard. Nothing wrong with working hard.
Amen.
Work hard. Get a job. I like what Bill Cosby put on the. I read this. It says, "Now you're telling me you have an iPad, and your kids are hungry." Well, I'll get off of that one. Amen. Case in point. Here's Acts. In Acts, First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, we're having a great drought. Barnabas and Paul were sent by church at Antioch to bring them some help. That's no more than right. No more than right. Hey, all the things you did, they did for them. Hey, they need some help. Well, go help them. Amen. By the way, God says, when people come to you and ask for help, you give it to them and don't think you're going to get it back. That's good, amen. It works that way too, I'll tell you. But God never forgets what you did. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. He is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. Remember this, first of all, the church of Jerusalem. That's where it all got started. Many thousands were saved and baptized in that church just a week after Christ's resurrection. And they began to, not his resurrection, but his ascension. And they began to suffer great persecution, scattered the seeds of the gospel all through the Roman Empire. Now there was a great famine in the area of the church of Jerusalem. And they were desperate in need. And so the churches in the area, that were started by the Church of Jerusalem, came to the rescue and sent money to support them. And we all ought to say, amen. The Church at Philippi sent time and time again to the missionaries who had got them started also. Let me remind you that someone came to your country. Someone came to America with the gospel. Many missionaries gave their lives to tell the gospel, to learn their language, and to spend years to write scriptures in native tongues and dialects. And they lived their culture, and they learned to eat the food, and they learned they lived in the same kind of house that you did. Don't you think that you owe it to the world to tell others about Christ? Don't you think it's about time we pay our dues to the world? In the 1700s, England became a hotbed for religion. And they began to send missionaries all over the world. And one of the places they sent them was America. Why? Because they owed a debt to Paul and the first century missions that cared for their souls. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." By the way, go into all the world is a commandment. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." It is our responsibility to reproduce ourselves all around the world. I would like to challenge you. And let Heritage Baptist Church of Great Falls, Montana, be able to say, as England boasted in the 1800s, that the sun never set on the Union Jack or their flag with our missions. We ought to have missions out there that are all over the world that the sunlight is always shining. And it's our responsibility to do that. And we can't do it without a cooperative way in our church to say, you know what, I'm going to support missions. I'm going to give so much to missions every week or every month or every year. This is what I plan to do to give to missions. And a lot of times we as Heritage Baptist Church, if you've been here long enough, you know that there's a lot of people coming and a lot of people going. I've been a pastor of this church almost 31 years, and I'm telling you what, about every 3 to 5 years, I start a new church. Just for fun. How many of you have been going to our church for 20 years? Would you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, my wife. For 20 years. We could shoot a shotgun in here if it's just us. But I'll tell you what, there has been thousands of people that sat in those seats that you're sitting today that you have no idea who they are, and they're all over the world. Therefore, when you come to Heritage Baptist Church, you're filling a spot that if we kept everybody that used to go here, we'd have 5,000 to 6,000 members of the church. I get calls from people, hey, preacher, how are you? I said, who is this? So-and-so. Haven't seen you for 20 years. What are you doing? Well, we're down here in Ohio. Well, why don't you come back to Montana? Well, I know. I'd like to challenge us that we do in our part of missions that we'd realize that it honors God. It honors God to do what He tells us to do. Either you go, or someone else has to go. And the question is, why not you? Why couldn't you go? Why wouldn't you go to be a missionary to all over this world? The job has to get done, amen? Back in 1999, when I first came to the Philippines, that was the first missionary trip I made, and there was a few years there I was making missionary trips twice a year to the Philippines when my wife's health was better. And the first time I went there, we had 6,200 saved in 5 days. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Going to these villages, and the teachers of the school would beg us, come tell our kids about Jesus. We know you Americans know about Jesus. I haven't been asked that CMR Russell High School to come over and tell them about Jesus. Amen. But they just begged us. One place came and we were supposed to speak to all these little classes and of high school kids, and the superintendent said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He says, "We're in the middle of tests and we can't do that right now." All of a sudden, Sam Heidenreich, who missionary we support in the Philippines, down in Kalinog, Philippines, he says, "Are you telling me that the superintendent of the schools of Heritage Baptist Church, Dr. Sear, and he's here to speak?" Our church, our school was run about 60 then. It's not the hugest. But anyway, Sam made it think that I was the head of superintendent of the whole world, you know. And the guy said, "Oh, wait, I didn't mean that. I didn't want him to speak. Do you think that we could have a grand assembly?" And Sam, and I didn't know what he thought about. And Sam said, "Yeah, I think we could do that." And he said, "I would like him to meet with the teachers and all of us before he speaks to the children and tell us what he's going to tell those kids." 8 of them trusted Christ as Savior right there in their office. And they were so tickled, said, "Oh, now we're going to go see the kids." They got there and there's 1,800 high school kids. And they're just, you could drop a pin drop and hear it. And I preached the gospel, very simple message on salvation. And I said, "If you'd like to receive Christ as a personal Savior, pray with me." And they stood to their feet. And I said, "Dear God." And it went, "Dear God." Of course, their second language in the Philippines is English. And they prayed the sinner's prayer. And Sam and all of his college students went around and talked to these kids. And they got 1,800 children said that they, 1,800 high school students, they trusted Christ for the first time in their life. And then they, of course, Sam sent in Bible workers during the week to work there. I told my dear friend Doug Kalap after that experience, and Doug and I went on mission trips all over, and he's in heaven today. but a friend. And with tears in my eyes, I said, you know, Doug, I really don't want to go home. Because I've seen the power of God and people getting saved. Of course, I came home with a different vision in my heart. And I told the folks, I said, I just want you to know I'm after you and your kids to become missionaries. And God had spoke to my heart a number of years ago, but I could pastor a church and send out 20, 30 missionaries compared to if I went to the mission field and started two or three churches. And God really spoke to my heart about that. I want you to know that your responsibility is not just coming to church and plopping down in that green chair and saying, hey, 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 and putting a little bit of money in the offering plate and make you feel good and you walk out of here and don't see you until next Sunday morning. Your responsibility, your divine responsibility, is to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. If you cannot do that and God has chosen to keep you here, then your responsibility is still go ye into all the world. And you can hire some people like the Ortezes, or you hire some people like the Matthews, you can hire some people like the Holmans, you hire some people and say, hey, the Collinses, hey, I want you to know that God has kept me here to make some money so that I can send forth the gospel to this foreign land, the people get saved. That's our responsibility. It doesn't stop by just pulling in the parking lot, walking in, sitting down, and enjoy the heat, enjoy the lights, and enjoy the preaching and the singing. That's not it. Christianity has a divine responsibility. You have an obligation. It's not just stopping here. Well, I teach Sunday school. Well, good for you. You should be teaching Sunday school. Well, I drive the Sunday school bus, or I work on the buses. Why? Well, I clean around here. I take care of the nursery. Wait a minute. There's a greater responsibility than that. And a great responsibility is telling people about Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he should send forth laborers into his harvest. I love that. It's his harvest. Mine, I'm supposed to go. Mine, I'm supposed to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's God's harvest. Matthew 9:38, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. That word send comes from the Greek word shalak, which means to stretch out, to extend, to direct, to send away. That's what he's talking about. By the way, it is not my harvest, and it is not your harvest. It is his harvest. And we are only his servant boys and girls doing what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the word of God. Oh God, I pray today that we would realize the great responsibility that we have in telling the world about Jesus Christ. Lord, first of all, if there's anyone here today that is not saved, has not come to the knowledge of realizing they're a sinner, and because of their sins, they owe a terrible price. That price is death and hell forever and ever. Dear God, today I beg you, that Holy Spirit of God, you'd work in our heart and tell them that, hey, today is the day of salvation. And Lord God, I pray that you'd just speak to our hearts today. Help us that our hearts would be tender to missions, which is your heart. That's why you keep us here on planet Earth. That's why that when a person is saved, you don't take him right to heaven. You keep him here to do the job, to be the laborer, the servant boy, the servant girl, to go into the harvest, the laborer to go to the harvest and reap
your harvest before it's lost. God, speak to our hearts today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I really don't understand too much about what you're talking about today, because I do not have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die today, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know that." My friend, you've come to the right place. There's a God in heaven that loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave His Son so that you could have everlasting life. You're here today and say, "Preacher, if I were to die today, according to God's Word, there was a time in my life that I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I asked Him to come into my heart. And if I were to die right now, I'm 100% sure, according to God's Word, if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you lift your hand today?" Thank you. You may put your hands down. Here today and say, "Preacher, I'm really not sure about that. I'm not really sure. I'd sure like to know that." Boy, can you imagine how much God loves you? He brought you to church today. You may be coming here for a while. He brought you to church today and say, "You know, oh, I just can't get that thing straightened out." Why don't you today take care of that and say, "You know what, I want to be sure of that. I want to take care of that. I'm going to pray for you that you would. Dear God, would you speak to the hearts? And would you give them courage to do what they're supposed to do? Lord, I pray that you give them courage to step out of that seat, walk down the aisle, take my other hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Lord, may they do that today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. This is called the invitation. Invitation means I am inviting you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Are you sure you're saved? Are you on your way to heaven? I'm telling you what. Last week at that Boston Marathon, those people thought that everything was going to be good. Over 170 were hurt. 3 died. Sure not about a couple more are going to make it or not. How about that fertilizer plant that blew up down in Waco? Those people thought, "Hey, everything's okay." Boom! It's over. They're dead. By the way, you can't ask Jesus in your heart when you're dead. We live in a world of terror and craziness and wickedness and evil. And God says that I sent my Son to die on the cross so that you could have life everlasting. So no matter whatever happens, I'll be absent from this body. I'll be present with the Lord. What a wonderful promise. You hear Dan say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven." Why don't you just step out of that seat, or maybe a person sitting next to you or standing next to you, say to them, says, "Will you come with me?" Why don't you come right now and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure of that." What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. Here today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ yet in baptism." That's down in the water and up out of the water. You see, the Bible says He commands that we do that. Why don't you come at this time and take care of that today? You're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at." Why don't you come at this time? Again, I'll ask you here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not positive of that. Hey, please take care of that. When you walk out the door today, and I'll be shaking hands with you, to say, "Preacher, I need to take care of that. Boy, I want to help you." Boy, it'd be a terrible thing. All my life, 44 years of preaching, and you walk out of here and I can't help you. That breaks my heart. But you know what? I'm just a servant boy. It breaks God's heart. And He says, "All I did for you, I died out on the cross, and I took that terrible beating, and you don't want me? Wow." Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Dear God, I pray you'd help us today. Help us realize that we have a great, great responsibility. And Lord, that responsibility is to you.
When we got saved, we had a lot of things given to us. It is our divine responsibility to pay back. Lord, help us to be faithful. Be with us tonight as we come back. May it be a special time. And Lord, be with us as we go out and preach to these different rest homes, retirement centers today. May we be a blessing and help to them. And Lord, thank you so much for all you give to us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
You're dismissed.